Brian, thank you very much. So many senior bankers are leaving the Irish banking sector because of the low pay, that it poses a systemic risk to the Irish financial sector. This was the claim made recently about the €500,000 pay cap, which has been in place here since the financial crash. But as the government continues to reduce its stake in the pillar banks, does the argument for limiting the salaries of senior executives still hold? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Sean Keyes, who's finance correspondent with The Currency, and Marie Sherlock, Labour Party Senator and spokesperson on employment affairs. Sean, I'm going to start with you because the person who made that remark about the systemic risk, that was Brian Hayes of the Banking and Payments Federation. He was addressing their own annual retail banking conference earlier this month. I just want to bring you more of what he said. A business model is predicated on having a senior management team there for a period of time to deliver on its plans, to make sure that its model is credible to the market. We could face a systemic risk potentially because of the significant flight from Irish retail banking. And you agree with that, do you?
I think systemic risk sort of implies, you know, an imploding banking system, doesn't it? And I think that's too strong. But I think it's a problem. And I think that we're cutting off our nose to spite our face.
So what's happening? People are leaving because they're not getting paid enough.
Yeah, at the very top they are, yeah. I mean, we had the CEO of Bank of Ireland, Jessica McDonough. I mean, she was extremely well paid, but the fact is she got better paid elsewhere.
But she wasn't subject to this €500,000 cap because she got 961,000 in the last year.
Yes, but it's the bonus, right? If you're a high flying banker, you care about your bonus. And I think, like, just to make the case, right? On the day that McDonough announced that she was leaving, Bank of Ireland shares dropped 10%, and that adds up to €600 million of value. So
they're worth it.
Well, like, you know, the bonuses are huge money for the likes of ordinary people, the likes of me and you, and they are in the low single digit millions. They're just extraordinary money. But to a bank shareholder, that's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. So just explain to people what happens to the bonus here in Ireland.
The bonus is taxed at, I think, 87 cent on the euro. So it sort of makes it prohibitive if you're signing somebody up and you're, you know, or organising the package. It doesn't make sense to have a bonus component, which is completely normal for the rest of the entire industry globally.
Okay. So the point, Marie Sherlock, is proven, according to Sean, because the value of Bank of Ireland dips by 10% when Francesca McDonagh says she's going. So we have to lift the cap in order to keep the quality people here and attract them too.
Well, I think it's important to say clear that, like, obviously the caps were put in place for a very good reason, because the state had to bail out the banks. And those conditions have not changed dramatically. Like, you know, the state still owns a 71% stake in AIB, 75% in PTSB, and a reducing stake, but still a 6% in Bank of Ireland. So I think it's an absolute overreaction to say, you know, it poses a systemic risk that the cap can't be lifted. But I'm crazy to kind of, I think, allege that the problems within the banking sector could be fixed if we could just attract in better people from abroad. Like, really, this argument about pay is a smokescreen for much deeper issues within the Irish banking sector. You know, we know, and you know, the Banking Federation talks themselves that, you know, Irish banks are some of the lowest profitability when you compare with most other, you know, banks across Europe. The business model here is in poor shape because there's a huge reliance on generating income from interest and not from other sources. And of course, you know, we're still, you know, dealing with the impacts of the financial crash. So I think there's an overfixation here on pay, and I think it's really important to say that, you know, like, the banks are talking about as if we have a normal Irish bank, a normal banking market. We don't. We're going to be reduced to just three banks as of this summer. Two of the foreign-owned banks are leaving the country this summer. So we have a totally dysfunctional banking landscape.
I want to bring Sean back in here.
At the top, okay, it's completely irrational.
Do you link the pay to those problems that Marie has just outlined?
Well, yeah, I agree with Marie that Irish banking right now has some serious problems. But I think that the problems of Irish banking in 2022 are totally different. They're almost the opposite of the ones from 2005, which was sort of what the problem that this cap was brought in to address, was like the idea that banks are very risky, they were underregulated, they were very profitable. Now it's the opposite. And now we've got these new set of problems, and I think the cap is making it harder to address them. So, like, I mean, problems like, obviously, you know, the apps are terrible, so that's why we're all using Revolut. Interest rates are higher here than other places. Banks aren't lending to anything remotely risky like housing developments. And of course, actually, say we're all bank shareholders. So even whether we don't want to be, but we all own this big slice of AIB and PTSB, we'd rather the cash, but we can't have it because the banks aren't profitable enough. Mm-hmm. And so, look, I don't want to say that, oh yeah, let's, if we give these senior bankers their bonus, that all these problems will melt away and all everything will be resolved. Of course not. And it's, the pay would only be a small step towards that, in that direction. But I think it absolutely would help.
You think it would help? It would make a difference to those problems,
yeah, well,
if they could have, if they could keep much more of their bonuses and be paid above the $500,000?
Well, it depends. Okay, so definitely on the our ownership of bank shares. I think it's you can see quite clearly that bank shares are highly volatile, and that like the decisions and the leadership and the strategy set by the top actually does make a difference. I mean, Bank of Ireland went from being worth $1.5 billion a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, now it's worth $6 billion. Was the difference all down to the leadership team? No. Was it partially down to the leadership team? Yes. Was it like 10%? I don't know what it was, but like it clearly made a big difference. And we're all bank shareholders, right. So this isn't an academic issue. This is something that affects all of us.
It's an interesting theory, isn't it, Marie? That, you know, if the problems in banking are so entrenched, so systemic, and you outlined the fact that we only have three main banks because Ulster Bank's leaving and KBC, that we should be pulling all of the levers we have available to us, including removing that salary cap, in the hope that it's going to make a difference?
Well, I think hope isn't the strategy, Claire. I think the thing is, for any ordinary bank worker, or you know, any worker within Irish banks in the lower levels or lower grades within Irish banks, you know, they're earning the average pay at the moment is about, you know, just over a tenth of the €500,000 pay cap. So I think certainly those workers would like to think that they could actually benefit more. And so in that regard, I think pay does to be looked at, but not just the €500,000 cap, but in terms of, I suppose, profit sharing amongst all workers within the bank. But the reality is, though, that the really important point, though, here is that for a prolonged period of time now, we have this argument that, you know, if we pay more at the top, that we're going to get results. And we're seeing increasing research, particularly coming out of the United States, that this argument of because we're worth it and we need to be paid more, that actually, you know, it's not translating into better results. And I think, you know, we need to have a comprehensive look at the whole of the banking sector and see what actually needs to be done. Like, to be very honest as well, you know, if somebody's working in England or in Britain or in continental Europe, in a banking market there where there is much healthier competition, you're taking a step backwards if you're coming to Ireland, because you know it's a much smaller market. There's much fewer banks. So I think to say that pay is the be all and end all, it's not.
But we are competing with those markets, because we have Brian Moynihan, Irish descent, chairman and CEO of Bank of America. He's an annual salary of $21 million. Now, it might stick in our craw, but what do we have to offer these people if we're saying to them, well, you can come here, you can run a smaller bank, you can live in a nice house in a nice country, we'll all be very friendly to you, but we're going to cap your salary at $500,000.
But what is that person going to offer, you know, banking customers in this country? Like, the reality is that we can't just, I think there's an overfixation here on pay at the top. And we need to look at how we actually have a sustainable banking system and culture in this country. And that we don't have at the moment. So I would much rather that we'd be having a discussion about all the other things that need to happen about banking, as opposed to this very simplistic assumption that if we just allow bankers to be paid $1 million or $1.5 million, you know, these are trophy sums of money at the end of the day.
Yeah, you see, but the policy doesn't just impact the people at the top, because people who are on lower salaries in the banks getting bonuses and, say, health insurance or some sort of childcare subvention, none of those things can be paid to any staff member, even the most junior and lowest paid staff. So it impacts everyone from the top down, doesn't it?
And that's why, I suppose, Claire, you know, I've said clearly, like, and you know, I'm conscious that the Financial Services Union have spoken about this. You know, they objected to the lifting of the €500,000 cap, but they do say we need a broader conversation about those restrictions, particularly for lower and middle, you know, earning workers within the Irish banks, because you know that ultimately it's about improving the pay rates of all the staff, you know, and not just those at the top. Mm-hmm. But I suppose to go back to that point, I think it's a facile argument to say that that in some ways that you know that there is a systemic risk now to the Irish banks, to the future of the small number of remaining Irish banks because of this pay cap. That isn't what's in question here. What's in question is that we have a dysfunctional banking system in this country. And unless we actually look at how we use that state share of the three banks to actually deliver better value for money for customers out
okay,
there.
I want to bring Sean. Yeah. I want to bring Sean back in for a moment, Marie. Okay,
countries.
So we've seen the two lenders leaving the market. We've mentioned that. Do you think the pay cap is an issue when it comes to our competitiveness and attractiveness to those who might want to leave the City of London and set up shop here?
Well, I mean that's obviously true.
The pay cap.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, right. If you're expecting to have a certain base salary and then a large bonus on top of that in the UK, I mean, you're clearly going to be you're clearly going to have second thoughts by taking a big pay cut to move back to Ireland, as much as you may love Ireland. But I think the point is, like, it doesn't even work on its own terms, you know.
Can I just clarify something there? The pay cap only, you know, pertains, as I understand it, to the banks that have a state, you know, a state equity, that the state has a share. It doesn't apply to any other bank that sets up here in this country. So
That's right.
And
there are dozens of bankers earning massive amounts of money in Ireland, but none of them work for the key retail banks. And like, so the question is, I mean, we're all customers of these banks and we all grumble and give out that the banks aren't very inefficiently run. The apps don't work. And we kind of say, well, we've got a bad banking system and what's to be done? But I mean, the solution to this is to actually solve the problems, you know? And I mean, an argument is made that the banking is getting more technology driven. So we need more technology people in there and those guys are expensive. And I wasn't sure how to assess that because it was getting made by the likes of Brian Hayes, who's got an interest, and I'm not sure whether how accurate it might be. But then, looking into it, you see Philip Lane, who was the governor of the central bank, who is the man who is in charge of regulating the central bank to make sure the banks don't go bust. And before he left, he said, OK, there is a case to be made here for key specialist position in IT and in compliance. There is a case to be made for lifting these caps because the banks simply can't get hold of people. And it's causing trouble for our industry. So, like, I'm inclined to believe him. And, like, I think when I see all these problems with my experience as a customer of the banks, and I see their regulators saying that they have a problem with holding on to people, I say, okay, let's just pay them. And then I'm just, one more point is, like, on its own terms, this whole thing is supposed to be to get risk out of the system. But, I mean, our system is so incredibly tightly regulated now. This is, like, if our banks, if some lunatic middle manager at the bank started taking on loads and loads of risk in order to beef up his bonus, or some unit did that, what would happen now is under a new regime is the shareholders would lose out. So I don't see that. I don't see them getting away with that any longer. And finally, this isn't, if this were an effective tool for controlling risks in banks, you'd see it being used elsewhere in the world. But it's not. Everywhere else in the world uses this kind of the same regime where they pass the risk onto the shareholders that we do. So it fails on its own terms, as far as I can see. And we've got all of these ordinary, these problems for retail customers of the banks that need to be resolved, and we should just let them be resolved.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Marie, as well, we have this new accountability regime coming in when it comes to financial institutions, the senior executive accountability regime. So maybe it might be an idea to relinquish control of the salaries when that legislation goes through, because they can be held to account using that mechanism.
Well, I think it's important to say clear that we've been waiting a very long time now, a considerable number of years, for that senior executive accountability framework to be put in place. And it was only last year, even the central bank had been repeatedly and in very stark terms calling for this legislation. And it was only last July that the government published the heads of bill. That is yet to progress through both the Dáil or the Seanad. And, you know, at the very earliest, it'll be 2023 before that will be enacted, if even at that. So I think, you know, let's get that legislation rolling. Let's get that in place. And all those conversations from them. But I think, you know, I'm extremely clear here. I have to be extremely clear. Like, isn't pay is only a very small part of this wider issue about how we actually have a healthier and more, you know, efficient banking system in this country.
Okay. Do you think that the pay cap helps to manage the risk?
I think the pay cap was very important in sending a signal that, you know, it could not be business as usual for Irish banks when they were bailed out. And as I said at the start, the reality is like that the Irish state still has a 75% stake in PTSB, 71% in AIB, and now a 6% stake in Bank of Ireland. Mm-hmm. So until we see that issue clarified, as to, you know, either the state continues to hold those stakes and then make full use of that stake in shaping and influencing what the banks do, or else sell them off, then I don't think we can begin to get into the situation of lifting the cap.
Sean, you say that we might all think, including all the people who are texting us this morning, that we don't want the bankers to be paid more. We might think that we believe that, but you say that we do need our bankers to be paid more. Is that where you're coming from?
Yeah, I think, well, it sticks in the craw. Definitely with the banking industry, obviously, we've bailed them out.
Like 16 million for one person for a year, which is an example of what somebody earned who doesn't work for one of the pillar banks in this country. It's obscene.
But hang on, can we separate it out? There's two sides of it, right? We bailed out the banks and we want to be bloody sure that they don't benefit from the bailout. And there's that feeling, that's fine. Then there's another feeling of like high paid executives, you know, the high paid executives at Musgrave or CRH, you know, and I think there's people don't feel great about that either. So we need to separate the two of them out. And I say Musgrave and CRH advisedly because that's where Bank of Ireland's CFOs have gone off to. And I just think that it's a fact of life that if you are in charge of a very large organisation which stewards tens, in Bank of Ireland's case, over 100 billion of assets, and you have to make like 10 decisions over the course of a year, and they're going to be extremely consequential. And that's true of Bank of Ireland, it's true of CRH, and it's true of Musgraves. And I think the difference between having the best person making the best possible decision and someone else who makes a slightly less good decision is massive. And it feeds through not just to shareholders, who obviously will care about it, but for ordinary people who buy things and need their bank or their supermarket or their quarry mm-hmm. to run.
And the reality of it is if you don't pay them that money, somebody else will.
And off they go. Credit Suisse.
And you say that is happening and we see that happening now. Okay, we'll leave that one there. Marie Sherlock, Labour Senator and Spokesperson on Employment Affairs, thank you for joining us on the line. And Sean Keyes from The Currency. I just want to bring you some